You're listening to Commercial Real Estate Deal Flow, the show where we hold nothing back. All right. So, Tim, what's up, man?
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year. I'm trying a different intro this show. I just feel like our podcast says CRE Deal Flow and our names are on it. So I kind of feel like it's a little redundant. So we're going to mix it up. This is actually, as we're recording this, this is January 4th, 2024, which is pretty wild. But we have a new year, and that's a good thing, I think, if you're in commercial real estate, right?
I think any real estate.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that is very true.
But this is CRE Deal Flow, not real estate deal flow. So,
yeah. So, well, on this show, I thought, you know, we were just chatting a little bit about what we wanted to talk about. And we felt like it would be good to go back and talk a little bit about 2023. It was certainly a pretty wild year. I think most would agree from our seat and anybody who's in real estate, their seat as well, just because of how interest rates reacted or what they did. And so I guess with that, why don't we just start with you, unless there's anything else you wanted to chat about. What did you get? Walk us through maybe your year, anything you want to share personally and stuff that you kind of went through and lessons learned, and I can just kind of start it there if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is kind of insane. It's 2024 already. So a lot of your listeners, if I've been hearing all the kids say it now, oh, you're born in the 1900s. Like, how's that make you feel? Right.
Do you have kids say that to you?
My 20-year-old nephew was like, weren't you born in the 1900s? And it's a joke for them. They absolutely love it. But yeah, there you go. That's 20. That's happening.
Last century, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so even worse. Don't tell the kids that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figured we'd just kind of chit chat. When you say a wild year, I mean, I would argue that even when COVID funds came out and quantitative easing hit and rates went bananas in our commercial real estate side of things, that was wild too. So I will touch on that. What is the definition of wild for me in 23? It was forced to take a break. You know, like, I didn't take a break consciously every day, but when you're going as fast as we were when rates were in the threes and sometimes even in the twos, it was like you almost, regardless of your style and your experience, you were going to be busy if you were making the calls and having the meetings. And that all came to a screeching halt. It tapered down in 22. I had one of my best years in 22, so certainly that was a good year too, but rates just went bananas in 23, as we all know, in a shorter amount of time than all of 2022. And it just really forced me to appreciate the slowdown and not banging my head against the wall. You know, there's a lot of problems that were thrown at me to solve for clients. And some of those solutions were wait, you know, and what that meant is I had a little more free time to focus on our own personal projects and our own investments. And I don't know if I would slow down staying in the speed of the wild years of 2021 and start of 22. So for me, I didn't get hurt financially. So I don't want to be insensitive to anyone who, you know, got caught by the interest rates, because certainly there are stories. We were close to a few of them. Thankfully for us, a lot of our stuff got locked for a long time. And it doesn't mean we're out of the woods, depending on what the feds are doing then. But for me, it was just really nice to slow down and look up and enjoy the years leading up to that, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, coming off 21 and really probably 22 was a pretty decent year as well. I mean, you saw stuff tapering off, certainly in the second half as rates kept climbing. But coming off those 2 years, I mean, 21 was just record breaking for a lot of people in most asset classes, whether you were buying, selling, I mean, whatever. If you were in real estate in 21, it was gangbusters.
Yeah.
And so I think it's funny because, you know, looking back myself on 21, I was obviously naive to the fact that it could change because I hadn't really been through what we just went through in 23. Being a broker, not having gone through 08, 09 like you did. And I mean, I didn't see any of it coming. I don't know if a lot of people did, but, you know, it's one of those things where I think
I'm over here. You weren't looking, but I'm like, I did.
Yeah, you probably did. Yeah, I'm sure you did. I definitely didn't. That's because it's just not kind of how I look at stuff. But maybe it wasn't how I look at stuff. But I think it's definitely given me a new perspective going forward. And I think, you know, I can say in the last 3 to 4 months, I've definitely noticed a shift in how I start to think about things in the future.
Yeah.
And just understanding that it's going to be bad at times, right?
Yeah.
And like, here's a good example. I was at a real estate investor meetup yesterday, and I think you knew Gabe and Paul were there, and Paul's an investor who, I mean, he owns, I think he said 2,000 units in Oregon primarily. And then Gabe's done really well. And then another guy named Mike, he's done very well. And then a younger investor. And so all four of them were on this panel, and they were kind of talking about, you know, various topics pertaining to real estate. And, you know, Gabe mentioned the fact that he's like, if you do real estate, it's going to be hard. Like, this business is hard, and it's not complicated, but it's not easy. Right. And so he's like, if you own real estate, shit's going to go wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not always going to be perfect.
Let me bookmark you right there. I just want to add for our audience. Are you saying that the higher rates made those things that go wrong for people more exaggerated? Because it's always been true of real estate, even in the good of times, from an operations perspective. So are you specifically talking about operations perspective when shit goes wrong? Or are you talking about transactional sales?
Well, no, I'm trying to give an anecdotal story as to how my perception of this business has shifted based on the last year we went through.
Got it.
And how I used to think, and knowing that going through 2023 and seeing rates just spike up, now it's shifted the way I plan out, or at least how I gauge risk and think about our, you know, the stuff that I'm investing in personally going forward. So what I'm trying to say is, like, this year taught me a lot in that regard. And back to the story I was trying to allude to that Gabe mentioned at this investor meetup, the point of it is that, you know, things are, if you're going to invest in real estate, you're going to buy, you're going to sell it, whatever, you're going to be in real estate. There's a level of risk that you take, right? There's always inherent risk with buying property and trying to operate it. It's a business. You're not an investor, you're a business owner. But the point I was making and what he said is, like, it's going to be hard and stuff is going to go wrong. And things are not going to be the way you expect them all the time. In other words, like, you think you're going to buy, you know, the deal at a 5.5 cap, and you're going to raise rents, and you have a business plan, and you think you can, you know, sell that thing in 4 years, 4 to 5 years for, you know, 2x multiple. It's like, well, that doesn't always go the exact way. And so anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, like, I think a lot of people are going to start to, I mean, those years like that are good. Because when you have things like that that go wrong and it gets hard, then it makes you start to grow as an investor or an owner or a business owner or a broker, right? As you, like, whatever you're doing, it's going through those hard times that makes you better when you get out of it.
Totally.
So what I was just trying to say that because, like, for you taking time off, were you able to reflect on that, thinking about, I mean, obviously it gives you some time to breathe. Sometimes it's, you know, focus on sort of personal stuff. And I mean, do you think that going through that is going to make you better at what you do? I mean, how do you sort of respond from that? Because now, I mean, look, 24 is coming. We're in 24. I think the Fed met in the last meeting. They didn't raise rates. They even alluded to dropping them. So there's a lot of people that are hopeful that things start to stabilize, which, frankly, between you and me, I think everyone would agree, if rates stabilize, that's going to cause probably a bunch of activity, right?
Yeah.
So
it's amazing how fast rates went up and squashed just transaction volume, but rates don't have to come down as fast to really start picking up volume. I mean, there's just so much pent up wanting to do something on either side of the aisle. Well, I would agree. Back to you really quick, though. So the audience knows, you know, most know you, some don't in this regard. Tyson's an optimist by nature. And it's really fun for me as a partner because I typically am not. I think that's why we partner really well. We've talked about that before. And going through the year of 23 challenged, I think, a lot of optimists around real estate, interest rates, trust, even maybe if you're an LP with other GPs, whatever you're going through. And you're still very optimistic. And I just love that about you. Moreover, that leads me to a point about the Feds. I think the Feds so far have succeeded with somewhat of a soft landing. I'm no economist. There's definitely a lot of extremely intelligent people arguing a true soft landing or not. And we're still not out of the woodwork to know if that's the case. But so far in hindsight, when the pain was really setting in with 1.75 increases almost seemed like every month, it was for what's currently happening. And so, you know, I think that helps with some optimism because this is not 09 right now. This is not 010. And still picking up something from it going forward, I think if you're able to do that without a lot of harm, I mean, that's the same as finding a deal in 21 that doubled in value in less than a year. Like if you were able to survive without any pain and learn some lessons along the way you otherwise couldn't, which is what I've done, yeah, because I was forced to slow down and look within, it was nice because I don't know if I would have done that in 21 on my own or leading up to 21. You're just constantly going, right? We talk about it all the time. We close transactions and you want to celebrate it and you want to feel good about it because it's a 3-month job well done. And then all of a sudden you've got 5 more fires right behind it. Well, 23 removed those fires right behind it. You know, everything was just right. A lot slower. And so sitting with that time with myself was something I'm really appreciative of outside of some other things that weren't so great. But specific to real estate, I'm just glad that you and I had like forward thinking to your point. You know, good deals. We took the higher rates and the longer fixed terms than I think some other people did. And that's really paying off for us. And it was, again, really nice to just slow down. But as an optimist, person, I'm really glad the slowdown hasn't jaded your drive and your same approach to investing and helping your clients invest in real estate.
Yeah. By the way, what does soft landing mean? I hear that term a lot and I think I know what it means, but why don't you just...
Oh man, I don't know what it means either. Every cycle is different. But I say that with laughter because go. I'm like, I don't want to sound confident and there's a bunch of economists that might actually hear this and cringe. Or any, you know, a lot smarter people. I will just talk about a soft landing compared to my experience of 8, 9, and 10.
And by the way, I'm not putting you on the spot, but the funny thing is people toss around that term and I hear it and I'm like, what the hell does that even mean? Right. And I think I know what it means, but give me your definition.
Well, make no mistake, specific to commercial real estate, there are definitely people that did not get a soft landing. So talking in a holistic, you know, economic approach of a soft landing, unemployment still low. Economy, yes. Unemployment's still low. People are still working. They're still spending money. You know, we're still able to go on vacations. Things are still getting booked. People are still moving money in the system and lenders are still lending the money. People are still borrowing the money, credit cards, boats, RVs. Certainly it's not as crazy as it was, but usually rates this high, this fast would squash all of that. You know, lines of credit that businesses might use to keep work in progress is going so that profitability continues paying employees or even a line of credit that pays your payroll. You know, back in 08, 09, banks straight up severed lines of credit businesses were using to pay their 20 employees or their 5 employees. And within like hours, it went from, I was here yesterday finishing a project and you're laying me off today. So if that doesn't happen drastically, I feel like that's the definition of an economic soft landing.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think basically it's like if we don't go in a recession, right? we're soft landing because what they did was they tried to curb inflation, which they feel like they've done. And so we're starting to come back down. And so as long as we don't crash land, AKA recession, we come in and things start to kind of stabilize. That's what I would consider a soft landing.
Totally. Now, categorically, there are recessions going on. If you were to go put it on the category of the car market, go put it on
macro. Yeah,
correct. And so, you know, I think of recessions like the people that aren't out there gambling with the economy aren't losing when the gamblers are. And so right now, I don't feel we're in a recession. You know, your hardworking people, blue collar, whatever you want to call it, they're just showing up, doing a good job to help the business grow. And they go home with their paychecks, their families, whatever. When they start losing and they didn't make the bets, that's when you know we're in a recession. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. So let's talk about the future, right? And there's a book that I'm reading, actually the author of Psychology of Money, the book you gave me, by the way, fantastic book, Morgan Housel. And he's on Twitter and he just his writing's great. Great storyteller. He just came out with a new book called Same as Ever.
Okay.
And the reason I heard about it is because he was on a podcast with Tim Ferriss. And the podcast is great too. I would highly encourage anybody listening, go listen to that one with Tim Ferriss and Morgan Housel. Just awesome stuff that they're talking about. And it's just kind of everything from parenting to business to all kinds of stuff. But I started reading the book and the book's title, Same as Ever. And the premise is that everybody wants to know what's going to happen or what's going to be different in the future, right? We're always worried about like, what's going to change? What do you see changing? What's going to, you know, like, what are the things that we got to look out for? But the reality is what we should actually really be concerned about is what's going to be the same.
Yeah.
In other words, like what's always going to be the same going forward? Mm-hmm. Because if we can start to identify what's going to be the same, then we can make good decisions because we know things to be true that have happened over hundreds of years, right, with humans and behavior. And if we can look at and pick out those patterns and identify what those are, we can make better decisions in terms of how we approach life, business, whatever it may be, because those are the sort of things that don't change over time. And so, like, incredibly fascinating topic. I think it's really cool. And I'm two chapters in. But
what do you think that means for commercial real estate going forward, at least this year?
Well, so I was kind of trying to get there and I lost my train of thought, but think of it like, here's a good way to relay it, right? Like he starts off the book with a story and gosh, I'm going to blow it here, but basically Warren Buffett, you know, he's like, he's talking to somebody or something and they're like, I'm going to butcher it, but basically he's like, hey, do you know what the best-selling candy bar was in 1942 or whatever? And somebody's like, I don't know. He's like, Snickers. He's like, you know what the best-selling candy bar is today? Snickers. And actually, yeah. I think he said it like at the time of the Depression or whatever. Basically, like no matter what, even in the worst times and the best times, Snickers has been the best-selling candy bar. Just interesting because like how I relay that and why I brought that up is because the reality is, if you look at the history of real estate, it goes in cycles, right? People talk about that all the time. Real estate's cyclical, or the way that, I guess, the real estate cycles, right? You have the sort of the expansion, right? Everything's going up, rents are expanding, building, and then you have like the fall and the recession and sort of, you know, so you can look back and you can see these plotted out curves over time in terms of where we are in each cycle of real estate. And it probably, you know, correlates with the economy as a whole. I don't know that much about it, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that we just experienced a long run up, right? It was over 10 years. And, you know, you look at the last recession, it was like, realistically, it was like what, 2 years long until we started to come out of the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, at least 18 in the worst of it, but yeah, 2 years. I'd agree.
And so if we think about it from those terms and perspectives and thinking about like stuff always repeats itself, history repeats itself, things are the same. Think about like, where's real estate go from here, right? And, you know, again, I'm referencing the conference I was at last night. Super experienced investor, Paul, owns 2,000 units, been doing it for 40 years. He's like, look, there's going to be another explosion of real estate. And he likes to reference the fact that we printed so much money and we're continuing to print money
and not building
Right. Yeah. So you have demand just skyrocketing. You have all this money being put into the system via credit. Right. And the government's just printing money going into debt further. And so when all that is in, you know, in currencies out there, the dollar becomes less valuable.
Yeah.
And then all these hard assets where money's poured into become more valuable. So it's like he thinks that we're going to continue to have another massive run in real estate, you know? And again, having gone through 23, like I'm much more skeptical, right? I'm still like, okay, when's that going to happen? What are the things we need to put in play? But it's interesting to think about, right? And so I'm curious what your thoughts are in terms of all of that, but where we go from here into 24 and beyond.
You know, it's really interesting looking at the timelines of the last one and this one. If we, to your question, you know, when's it going to happen? You're like, okay, that sounds great, but when do you think it's going to happen? I think the summer of 24, bearing a lot of things that don't completely change the route we're on naturally. Jeez. We'd be in 18 months of a slowdown commercial real estate recession for us, right? So you are living your first 18 to 24 months of a difficult market like it was in 2009-10. The difference now is the banking industry is really strong, and it was not in 2009-10. I mean,
yeah,
banks were going to go bankrupt, and it was a world economy issue. I think we're going to see a bit of a banking crisis this year, and I'm hoping it's just more related to, you know, the grand scheme of things not bringing everything down. There's a huge, I got to go look up the number. I should have done it for this podcast, but one of the largest years in the next 3 years of commercial real estate loans maturing and requiring a refinance is this year. And a lot of those loans in 24 that are maturing this year that need to be refinanced are coming off of extremely low interest rates.
Yeah.
So hopefully incomes are up and people didn't get crazy and they've stabilized, you know, not talking about the office arena. But certainly it'll, the test of time of when it'll come back is how well that's going to be taken care of. I mean, It's a huge number this year of loans coming to their maturity date. And some of them are balloon payments. Others are just floaters. And a lot of people that have a floater where their loan isn't maturing this year or they owe the whole balance, that new rate might put them in a violation of their debt covenants and they have to right size the debt to make the lender happy. And that's when you start getting the capital calls, the principal reduction request by the lenders, and you either have it or you go sell it. I do think a lot of your loans maturing this year that cannot be debt service still have value. And if it's the right asset and you're just in the wrong circumstance and timing, I do believe a lot of sales will be prompted and new buyers can come in with, hopefully, my prediction is this summer, 5.5 to 5.25 interest rate, potentially lower if you're willing to take a really toothy prepayment penalty. So I want to say we'll start climbing out of the muck come summer. How fast we start climbing out of it is going to be dictated on the potential banking crisis and these loans maturing and how well they're dealt with. But I'm confident by the time 25 comes around, we'll be back into I won't call it explosionary like 21, but it'll feel that way for how sluggish it's been since 22, if that's fair to say.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of pain still probably. Like to your point,
it's just how the pain is going to be dealt with on a macro level is going to tell us macroly how it comes back. I think that point was heard. I may not have articulated it very well. I will say here in March is going to be the first stress test. Now this is Timonomics again, but if we remember SVB and was it Signature Bank when they had the failures and then First Republic Bank in 23, Those got bailed out, specifically SVB. The government did this weird kind of, they don't want to call it quantitative easing, but they gave a loan that matures in March of 24 because the bonds that are the assets on the bank's balance sheet were rendered worthless because they were such low interest rates. Investors on Wall Street would go invest in something else, whether it was cash, crypto, gold, whatever. So the government gave a loan as if they acquired those bonds. And I'm going to butcher this a little bit, but my understanding is that loan comes due in March of 24. And whoever's holding that bag has to pay that off or negotiate again. And I believe that debt has doubled. So how people are going to deal with that, will that cause a panic in the banking industry? You know, the consumers worried. I don't think it will because our big banks, you know, notably Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, they're all extremely healthy. This is a regional bank problem. And I bring that up because a lot of commercial real estate loans that were done in the last 5 years are mostly held by community banks if they're not held by Wall Street.
Interesting.
So, you know, these really large conglomerates are healthy because they just really didn't buy into the commercial real estate speculation like these smaller banks did to make interest income. Well, that interest income now is a lot less than other investment vehicles. And so how the market responds in March, maybe we won't hear about it till summer, tied to that in March. I just, all those reasons, I think summer is looking up. And how well we deal with those small crises will tell us how quickly that comes back.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, I think we should wrap it up since we're almost at 30 minutes. Yeah, excited for 24. I think for those who took some time or even for those who doubled down, I think you know, now's the time, a good time to start kind of really getting back into it.
Well, just think you're buying a Snickers bar with real estate. I think right now, absolutely focus on salt and pepper. If the deal makes sense, go for it. You know, real estate is not going anywhere. It is a long-term hold, like you said, Tyson. It's a business. So if things can make sense, go for it. Don't wait for the rates to drop. You know, maybe structure a lesser prepay so when they do drop, you can capitalize on a refinance. But don't buy speculation, buy for cash flow, and you'll be fine. You know,
yeah,
we should have called this episode CRE cash flow.
Cash flow money. Yeah, but for sure.
Before we go, let's do something pretty fun. We talk about resolutions all the time. So, but let's, since we know each other so well, what would be your resolution for me in 2024 that comes to mind? Maybe nothing. And I'll tell you what I think your resolution should be for 2024. Wow.
All right. Resolution for you. I would say, well, why don't you go with yours first? Because you already got it.
You know, coach, you need to fish more. Man, I'm so stoked to get you. Like, we fly fish together. So it's like, get you out more.
Man, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, I thought you were going to say something real estate related. No.
Oh, no.
Definitely need to fish more. It's, man, it's so hard. And that's why I need to move to Central Oregon, is so that I can get somewhere quicker.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yes, you did. For you, I would say, man, that's kind of,
it could be anything. Personal, commercial, real estate, me as your partner.
Resolution for you. I don't know. I think you've done a good job, man. The first thing that came to mind was just like, you've always kind of been not negative, but you look at things more of glass half empty than I do. And I think you've done a really good job, especially in the last year, I would say, at being more open to stuff.
Yes.
And so I think my resolution to you is to continue to sort of expand on that, but don't lose, you know, who you are, because that's what makes us, our partnership good. And
that's awesome. No, that's really fair. It is nice to not look at everything glass half full or who's pouring. It has been nice. And so I do hope to continue that this year, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I can feel it changing. So it's been good. I mean, obviously, you know, you've had to like kind of work through that, and I'm sure it wasn't easy. So anyway, that's the first thing that came to mind. If I think of something else, I'll be sure to share it next time.
Oh, no, that was great. That's a good way to end. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, have a good one, Tim. Talk soon.
Okay.
All right. See you, Tim.